Hello, I'm Michelle Kaneko, your host, your ghost host. Welcome to Parks and Pixie Dust, where we discover the magic of the Disneyland Resort. Any first-timer to the Disney parks can be easily confused. With all the rides, shows, characters, and food, it can be hard to tell what's worth the time on a short vacation. Even for park regulars, when you change up the normal group by adding kids or pregnancy, the day can be confusing. So what do you do when you can't go on Space Mountain or California Screamin'? Jessica Sanders has the answer. Sanders runs the blog Happiest Blog on Earth, which provides helpful tips, tricks, and discounts for any Disneyland guest. She is also the author of the books How to Disney and Disneyland on Any Budget. Jessica, it's great to have you on Parks and Pixie Dust. Are you ready to talk Disney?
I am always ready to talk Disney. I'm super happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah, of course. And it's great you're always ready to talk Disney, given the blog and being on this radio show. It's definitely something we have in common.
Absolutely.
Okay, so just to start off, what is a little bit of your Disney backstory?
Disney backstory would start with the very first ride, of course, which is the tram ride to the park. That was the dad joke that my dad always said, "Awesome, here's our ride, now we can go home." So obviously I grew up going to Disneyland Resort. I'm native to Valencia, California. And even though Magic Mountain was in our backyard, Disney always pulls at the heartstrings. So I've been going there ever since I was little. And then now that I have kids, taking them back to the Disneyland Resort has been something that really changed me and the direction of my career. So after taking them and learning different things and tips of how to do Disneyland with kids or different groups, like you mentioned, just really sparked a whole different turn of Disney for me.
Awesome. The tram, of course, the best ride, no fast pass needed, shortest line, and you can always skip. You can always just walk to the parks if you want to, but the tram's much more fun. So what led to you creating your own blog?
I used to be a freelance writer where I would do web copy for various businesses. And once I started going to Disneyland with my kids, I realized that we talked about it so much, even months after our visit, that I wanted to start documenting those tips that I had on my own website. And then I was able to monetize the website to where it was matching my freelance projects. So I decided to stop freelancing and write only what I wanted to write, which was about Disneyland.
Oh, perfect. It's always great to be able to take something that you love doing and turn that into your career. And how long have you been blogging on the Happiest Blog on Earth?
It's been a little over 4 years since I've been writing on the website. So obviously have a huge pile of different articles and just all kinds of advice for different groups and different stages in life, whether you're like an AP holder or someone that's just coming once in a lifetime from Australia, there's things that I can help you with.
Okay, so like I mentioned, with the two books and hundreds of blog posts, do you have any tips that you find yourself reiterating specifically to family or friends who say that they're coming down to the parks?
Yeah, absolutely. I think packing your patience is my favorite tip because things might not always go as planned. There might be a ride down for refurbishment or maybe a technical glitch where it's not working right now, or maybe you think your kid's going to love one ride and they are freaked out about it. And also just to remember that you're there on vacation or you're there visiting after work, but everyone else is trying to do the same thing. So I think if you bring along some patience and a good attitude, you are just so much further along already in having a great Disneyland experience.
Yeah, I would definitely agree. Patience is always important, especially if Indiana Jones is on your list of things that you want to do. The amount of times that ride breaks down is...
And sometimes when you're on the ride.
Oh, well, that's the fun part. Then you get to see backstage.
Definitely.
And all the lights on, especially in the parts where it's just a black room. I mean, that's just fascinating. So part of your blog are the VIP custom park plans. Is there a typical group or family type that you tend to notice, tend to ask for help a little bit more?
It's really crazy. So let me explain a little bit about what the VIP custom park plans are. So people will come to me when they're planning a Disneyland vacation, and I piece together their day from start to finish. So from inside the parks, I tell them what rides to ride and when, and I piece it all custom to their group. So since I've been doing that, which has been about a year, I have not had one custom plan turn out the same because they're telling me who's coming, what ages they are, what heights they are, because that we know is important. If what kind of strategy they like are they early risers or are they more of a night owl? Will they need a break during the day? So I really haven't had one turn out the same because the dynamics are so different every time. And I take all these little things into consideration, including like what characters are their favorites. Is there maybe a restaurant or an attraction or a meet and greet that I can be able to get them that interaction that they're looking for?
Yeah, so like if a guest comes up to you, they say, my daughter wants to meet Ariel. That's all she wants to. You know exactly where to point them.
Exactly, yeah. And of course, we know the Disneyland app is our favorite. And a lot of people are still really new to that. So just knowing that you can find the characters live right there. And that's really unique because a lot of us locally, we use several different Disneyland apps when we're there to check wait times and do things. But I love that the official Disneyland app has the character locations.
Yeah, if you are planning a trip to Disneyland, if you have space on your phone, definitely download the app. You can see wait times, you can see where characters are. However, occasionally there are special character meet and greets out. The Country Bears from Country Bear Jamboree were there in California Adventure this past weekend, which...
That's super rare.
Was very odd, given that the ride doesn't exist here anymore.
Or at that park.
True, they're on the wrong coast and the wrong park. So definitely worth downloading. And with the VIP custom park plans, are there any odd requests that you've gotten that maybe are things that you weren't expecting?
I did have someone that was coming just for the day to do Mickey's Halloween party, and they had never been to Disney Park before. So that was really unique because most of my custom plans are people that are coming for several days, and this is like either their one big trip or they haven't been in years and years. So that was a challenge because they were only going to be there, you know, from 3 p.m. until park close, and they had never been there. And it's also a real challenge when you're navigating someplace completely new and it gets dark. Because you know how different it is when the parks get dark at night, especially if you're not familiar with all the little paths and how things change when parade routes are roped off and things like that. So it was a definite challenge putting that together, but I'm super happy that I got a report back from her that they had an amazing time and they were even granted access in an hour earlier than they normally let you in because I had her set up to wait to get into California Adventure early. And most people were waiting to get into Disneyland Park because this year that was new that they allowed the Mickey's Halloween ticket access to either park before the official party started. Everyone was still going over to Disneyland and they were able to get into California Adventure even earlier.
That is very nice of the main gates operations to let them in early. Because they're so like, oh yeah, it's our first time. We're just here for a couple hours. Like, wow, okay, so yeah, just go in now.
Pretty much. I was super excited because obviously that's nothing that I could control. But just having her prepared and being at the gates extra early got a little extra magic for them.
A little extra pixie dust sprinkled on top. How perfect. And the VIP custom plans definitely sound like a great idea. I've heard too many stories of large groups going, and once their trip is over, they still don't know what a fast pass is, which is a giant help to any party. It turns a two-hour wait on Space Mountain down to 20, 30 minutes.
Yes, it's a must.
In the meantime, you can get a churro. Okay, so having three kids, have you noticed over time your posts kind of change to see how they see the parks, more so than how you see the parks?
Well, one thing that we've been exploring with lately is letting them go off on their own because they are getting older. So where at one point I was writing about how to bring your toddlers to Disneyland and what rides they like to ride, which are still available on the blog, and I update those. But now I'm turning into, is it okay to let them go off on their own? At what age and what things do they need to know? So, like a lot of locals, I went to Disneyland by myself a lot. And in eighth grade, I'm pretty sure we did our, like, a grad night kind of thing there. So it's something that you have to kind of be prepared for. And I've been letting my kids try single rider without me and then returning to me, or being like a fast pass runner for Fantasmic or something, just to show that they have responsibility, that they can go up to some place and come back at the appointed time, and that they're comfortable doing things on their own. My youngest is 7, and so we do single rider a lot where we'll all go together, but of course ride separately. And she needs to be able to know where are the safety restraints and how to buckle, because they're all configured differently. And even entering and exiting the ride and where we go and how we meet up again, and who to ask for help if you need it. So that's been definitely something that's changed and kind of grown with me on the blog as my kids have grown.
Okay, so being being a parent with kids ranging from 7 to how old?
13.
From 7 to 13, would you, how do I phrase this? What would you say is the main piece of advice for a parent who is petrified to even send their child through a single rider line, much less say, hey, go spend an hour by yourself?
Sure. So one of the things that we did to start single rider is we sandwiched the youngest. So, like, if I'm with my husband, he'll go on first, she goes second, and I'm at the end. So hopefully he will already be waiting at the exit, and then I'm still waiting with her. I see her get on the ride. I see her buckle up while I'm in line, something like that. And it's definitely a personal decision. You know, every parent has different things that they allow their children to do and the freedoms that they give them. So it's just definitely something you want to do once you're comfortable and the child is comfortable. And definitely they should know how to navigate the parks. And that's something you can practice as you're walking around. Like, how do we get to such and such place?
Perfect. And then also with your kids, has there been anything that they've said in the parks where you've gone, you know, I can make a post about this? We're getting an idea directly from them.
Definitely. So we've been so many times, and with my kids getting older, I thought, surely we are out of the meltdown phase. Well, meltdowns happen anytime, and it's not just kids. I've seen lots of parents meltdown right alongside their kids. So my youngest, one time we're there, and I'm thinking, she's totally good. We don't need this stroller. She's way too big for a stroller. And I know how you guys feel about strollers. They're everywhere. It's a madhouse, right? But what we do now, because I learned that she can still have a meltdown sometimes, because she's tired. We've been walking all day. The average visitor walks about 8 miles a day at Disneyland. So what we do is bring a stroller, park it in stroller parking, leave it until the end of the night, and then use it to wheel her on out. And she's a big girl, but I see plenty of big kids riding around in strollers, so I don't feel bad.
Yeah, definitely. What's important is that you get them back to the parking structure, that they're in one piece, that you're in one piece.
Right. We don't want any of those parent meltdowns, because I've seen that happen. Like I said, you know, people are like, this is the happiest place on earth. You better be happy. I've heard that plenty of times. And if you look out for it, I'm sure you will too.
Oh, yeah. I've been going since I was little, and the amount of meltdowns, it's, especially on hot days. There were some days over summer where it was over 100 degrees, the parks were crowded, meltdowns are bound to happen. Get ice water.
Yes, and don't be afraid to go back to your hotel and take a nap if you can, or just do a loop on the railroad. You know, one of those places that you can just kind of chill out a little bit. Tiki Room is always a great choice, right?
Yeah, especially, you know, just get a Dole Whip to begin with. Cool down your core temperature and sit in the tiki room, go listen to some birds, get some air conditioning.
Definitely.
It's great. Also, the animation building over in California
definitely.
Adventure, a good place to sit down, calm down, avoid the meltdown.
Yeah, because there's so much stimulation going on for kids, too, that sometimes they get just overloaded. And they're enjoying all the fun new rides and meeting characters, but they do need a little bit of downtime. So I love the animation building as well because it's very cool, dark, calm.
You don't have to wait in a line to get in.
Right.
Because I've also seen plenty of meltdowns happen from kids who just, they're done waiting in lines, which is understandable. A seven-year-old has a very short attention span. They just, they want to have fun. They don't want to wait for 2 hours. So, where do you see the future of the Happiest Blog on Earth going?
Well, it's been an awesome ride. I've loved sharing tips and Disneyland hacks. One of the things that is going on right now is I'm seeing a lot of visitors, for me at least, from Canada and Australia. So having an international presence is really cool. I did a radio interview with a radio show in Australia a couple months ago. It's actually their park. Coming from Australia, Disneyland is their closest park, and they come here and they make that their destination vacation. So definitely just having a bigger presence and, you know, catering to people that live here locally or that are coming from far away. I'm always looking to grow my audience and reach an even bigger audience with the books and with the custom plans. And then, of course, on social media, it's been really fun to meet all kinds of different people. So my goal is definitely just to keep growing that audience, and I'll be around for a long time because I love Disneyland and I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah, well, speaking of growing your audience, have you ever considered maybe expanding your topic of choice, expanding from Disneyland to maybe talking about Disney World, international parks, the movies, or even crossing over to Universal?
Dun, dun, dun. So actually, I've found with this space, there are tons of websites that cover Walt Disney World. There are also lots of bloggers that write about travel and other various aspects of life and parenting. And I really enjoy carving out my niche as just focusing on Disneyland Resort. So you will find a little bit about like the hotels in the area, off-site places to eat that are within like a short walking distance. But I definitely focus on Disneyland and want to be the Disneyland expert. So I don't want to branch out to any other parks because I feel I'm the expert on Disneyland, and that's what I love writing about. And I want people to know that when they come to my website that they are going to find accurate and up-to-date information. And I think the best way to do that is to just be super focused on what I do and do it well.
Well, I'd say definitely expanding just a little bit to talk about maybe different areas that are around the Disneyland Resort that aren't necessarily owned by Disney are definitely helpful, because it's very easy to see a Disneyland tourist who isn't from the Southern California area just go, you know what? I want some Cheesecake Factory. Or what other restaurants are in the area? And then going to blogs like yours to find out what is good, what is worth the money in the area.
Yeah, we have some favorites nearby, and that's always nice if you need a break from like theme park food or something that's just right by your hotel.
Definitely. Okay, to switch gears just a little bit, let's talk about your books. What led you to writing them?
Well, the first book is called Disneyland on Any Budget. And when I first started the blog, a lot of the information was budget focused because a lot of people seem to think that they can't make a Disneyland vacation happen. And I found that a lot of the tips online focus more on credit card hacks, which I think are awesome, and I use those myself, but I wanted something that anybody could do, even if you didn't want to spend a lot of money on a credit card just to get your Disney vacation. So Disneyland on Any Budget combines all my budget-friendly tips for saving up even before you get to the park. So it has some ideas on how families can work together to save for their Disneyland vacation. And then it also has tips on saving on your tickets, saving on your hotels and flights, and then saving once you get into the park. Like, for example, people are all across the board on what they spend on souvenirs, and that's totally fine. But I always suggest to set a budget for your kids, whether that be $20, whether that be $100, or whatever you decide is appropriate for your family. And set that budget and give them a Disney gift card so that you know you're not going to go over budget. It's just one of the simple ways to save. And then How to Disneyland is a follow-up on that, because I got a lot of feedback from people saying they wanted more of an in-park touring plan. So How to Disneyland navigates inside the parks, talking about what to ride first in different lands and various tricks on avoiding high wait times.
All seem like very good tips, very good ways to help out guests. So what was the biggest challenge of writing, you know, an entire book versus writing a blog post?
Formatting. It's so technical, but yeah, I love writing, so that part doesn't come hard to me, but formatting it for publication is a technical difficulty, but it's something that you only have to do once, thank goodness.
Yes, definitely making sure, you know, where to put each different piece of information so that way it's a coherent...
Yeah, definitely.
Coherent work. So what was the process of writing and publishing your books?
So a lot of things are based off of existing blog posts where I've compiled it all together so that you're not searching through hundreds of blog posts. And then I've added... more of a conversational tone in that book to pull it all together. So there are things that are exclusive to the books as well. And I think just the demand where people are saying, I love reading your website, but is there something I can have in my hands? One thing, so I don't have to click and click through to keep reading.
Okay, so given that tis the season, it's already Christmas down in Disneyland. To any listener who may be planning to make a visit for Christmas or New Year's, which are the peak seasons in Disney, if you could give them one piece of advice for surviving and having fun in the crowds, what would it be?
Well, we already talked about patience. So the next thing I would do is get on the Disneyland website right now and book a dining reservation, because on those peak times, even a quick service restaurant, you could wait in line for about 30 minutes just to order your food. So I say, might as well have a dining reservation. Get anyone you can get at this point, because you can book 60 days out. So those are already being booked. Obviously, we're in the midst of the holiday season. Get any time, get any place, and you will have a sit-down place that you can get served your food. And it'll probably take you about the same time as if you were standing in line doing a quick service. And the prices are pretty comparable, surprisingly. I mean, we definitely have some higher end sit-down options, but I don't think you'll pay that much more, and you'll enjoy it a lot more to give yourself that time to sit down and relax.
Yeah, there are definitely some less expensive options. Like, you don't necessarily have to do Blue Bayou or Carthay Circle. You could do Carnation Cafe, which is only a little bit more expensive than the Plaza Inn and has a lot of similar food, plus some more extravagant options, just a little bit more expensive.
Yep, and a dedicated table just for you.
And a server definitely helps. You don't have to get your own refills. It's great. Okay, so it looks like we're starting to run out of time. Do you have any last remarks for our listeners, Jessica?
One of the last things I would say is that if you're looking for discount Disneyland tickets, I have a link on my homepage. And what's great about that, too, is you can get multi-day tickets and you don't have to use them all in a row. A lot of locals think, oh, I'm not going to get a multi-day ticket. I'm just going to go for one day. But you can actually spread them out over 2 weeks. So it's perfect for the holidays, a great way to go a couple of times over the weekend.
Oh, that sounds like some great advice and a great deal. So thank you, Jessica, for sharing what it's like to be a Disney blogger and a published author. To our listeners, you can catch her online at thehappiestblogonearth.com. Thank you for listening to Parks and Pixie Dust with our guest, Jessica Sanders. This is Michelle Kaneko reporting for KPCRadio.com.